First up, we got Willie Jack. Now, Willie Jack, tell them where you from and who you representing.
Yes, sir, man. Hey, first off, man, let me say, man, appreciate the love, man. Man, Brother Red, man, no vultures, man. They been holding me and my dog chopped down, man. But I'm Willie Jack, man, here from Let the Film Speak, football podcast talk show, man. I'm not even sure which one's appropriate to say, but yeah, we'll go with podcast right now, man. Me and my dog Chop, man, we get on, we talk. It's all ball on our channel, man. So when I get an excuse to come kick it with my dog, Brother Red, and talk some boxing, man, I got to jump on that for sure. And so, but yeah, man, check me and my dog out, man. Wednesdays at 7 o'clock, man. We on YouTube. Let the Film Speak. Find us across Instagram, TikTok, all that good stuff, man. Facebook. And so, yeah, man, come in there and see how we get down, man. Talking all ball in there, man. Y'all, come in there and have a good time.
Hey, now, Willie Jack, tell them about the Three Amigos, man, before we get up out of here. Tell them about them Three Amigos.
Hey, you know what's going on, man. The Three Amigos, man, that's like, share, subscribe, big dog. Like, share, subscribe, man. Hey, the Three Amigos, man, they show love to No Votes of Podcast as well, man. So they in the building as well, man. Y'all make sure y'all tap in and show love to No Votes of Podcast, man. Them Three Amigos for sure.
Word up. Now, next up on the panel, we don't got to say, because y'all already know it's finna go down. Now, he came on, he had one of our most popular episodes, and that was Docs on Boxing. So you know we had to bring him back. Docs, let the people know what's going on, man. Represent, Docs.
Call me Mr. 48 Belts. That's what you call me, Mr. 48 Belts.
You love them belts.
For this podcast. I love all the belts. I want every boxer that's in any weight class to get a belt. That's what it's called.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'll see. We're going to get into it. Don't worry. Mr. 48 Belt, see? The D-O to the X. I'm ready to go.
Okay.
What's up,
all
Brother
right.
Red? Let's get it.
All right. All right, guys. Let's jump right into it. Hey, like I said, we're talking pound for pound. We're talking about the state of affairs in boxing in 2023. Now, we've got some really, really good fights. You know, through COVID, you know, it was a little hit and miss. It started off like, okay, they might, you know, boxing might actually try to do something. They kind of, to me, they kind of fluttered, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But 2023 looks good. Now, we're going to recap the Plant versus Benavidez, and then we're going to get into three big-time fights that are coming up that are on the slate. We got my man, Monster Inoue, from out of Japan, taking on Stephen Fulton, who... a lot of people are saying that, you know, this is going to be a little bit too much for the Monster. So we're going to get into that. Then we got Devin Haney versus Lomachenko. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. I love you, Lomo. But could there be a little bit of great white hype going on with Lomo?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
And then
I don't know, man.
And then the
I
big
don't
money
know.
Fight, at least yes. for me, I think the big, big money fight of 2023. And I know Docs hates it. Is Tank versus Garcia. And when you have fighters that you can literally say they're known enough to where you can say one name or a nickname, if a guy has came along far enough in the public consciousness where you say one name or nickname, then I do think that they are worthy of that pay-per-view. And I do think this is going to be the biggest fight in boxing this year. So let's get into it. Plant versus Benavidez, the recap. Docs, thoughts. What do you think about that fight?
I watched the whole fight from the day they talked about it to signing to all of that. I watched it. Plant didn't do it. He fizzed out again. He fizzed out at about round 8. He fizzed out. The ref, Kenny, it was too many questionable breakup holds, letting Benavidez punch in the hole. You know what I mean? It was too much. It was just a kind of a wild, crazy fight. So you stopped the fight because of a cut. Was it a punch cut or was it a headbutt? It was a headbutt. Why'd you stop it? Is it that bad to where you had to stop it? So it's just things like that during the fight that fighters couldn't really get their flow. So. But don't get me mistaken. The Mexican boogeyman he is what he say he is. He took some of Plant's best punches. He showed me footwork this fight. What he didn't show me when he fought Durrell. He showed me footwork and he showed me a chin.
Okay. All right, now Willie.
So
what you think, man?
Yeah,
I know
Willie.
Willie, you itching on that.
I ain't gonna lie. I think I saw the fight a little different. First off, man, shout out to Kenny Bayless, man. Kenny Bayless.
Hey, why is Kenny Bayless always in the middle of some damn controversy when it comes to boxing, man? Man, Kenny Bayless can't stay out of the headlines when it comes to championship boxing matches.
Can't. I mean, and that's the thing about, and this is one thing I want to, this is one thing I do appreciate about Benavidez is that he's one of the few true fighters in boxing, just to me, that like he's really looking for smoke. So like things like Kenny Bayless, things like ring size, none of that means shit. None of that means anything to David Benavidez.
Oh, you can curse him.
Line him up and we can run it. You know what I mean? Line it up and we can run it.
It's a fact.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So shout out to Benavidez. But Kenny Bayless, man, if we all boxing fans, we know what's going on, man. That's Money Maye's primetime boy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's Money Maye's number one guy because he does tend to and I don't want to say not in any type of like I don't think he's like dirty, so to say, but he does I guess what's the word I'm looking for, man? He trends more towards slick boxers. And so and then when I'm watching the fight, man, I don't think Benavidez was necessarily punching in the holes. I think he got put in a position where Caleb Plant came out and showed his game plan. I'm a jab, I'm gonna stay outside. If you get close enough, I'm grabbing you.
Yeah.
And so I would go the other way and say it was probably excessive holding on Plant that Kenny Bayless let go on. And then Benavidez, to his credit, he was like, hey, look, man, it's got to get a little rough. Like I got to punish him some way. So if he's going to pop shot me and jab and be slick, and then if I, you know what I'm saying, if he can smell my breath, he grabs me now, and Kenny Bayless isn't doing anything about that, then at some point, like, okay, well, hey, now you got to eat a forearm coming in here.
Right.
Now when you grab me, I got to get you off, I got to throw one, because that's the, you know what I'm saying, yeah.
What did Mills Lane always tell the fighters? Punching it out! Punching it out!
Hey, punch it out! Punch it out, man. Come on, he punched out every time. I agree with both of y'all on Docs,
on your take with Plant. He started to peter out about the eighth round. And Willie, to your point, because that's what I saw. I saw Plant with a good game plan because he was, you know, too sweet, the sweet hands, you know, he was looking really good. Better than I thought. Yes. I thought Benavidez, honestly, I had talked to him with my brother. You know, I was like, man, yeah, I think Benavidez is going to walk him down. He's going to walk right through him.
Which he did, though.
Well, eventually got to him. But I think the thing that both of you guys are right, Plant up to about the eighth, he was looking good. But the excessive holding, like Willie said, whereas Benavidez is that throwback type of fighter, none of that is going to deter me from my goal. So if you want to go this route, if you want to go here, you want to go there, I will go there. We can go any way you want, any way that you want to go, however which way you want to take this, I'm fully prepared and engaged. I'm going to give it to you any way you want it. And that's what that's the thing that I saw from Benavidez that I was most impressed. It was like, okay, had to change up a little bit. Oh, it's going to be one of these type of fights. Okay.
Yeah, boom. Yeah.
And Brother Red, I'm glad you said that because that to me was what was disappointed about Plant. Plant didn't have a contingency, bro.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a good game plan. Like, the first four rounds were, if he could have maintained those first four rounds specifically, because I think those first four rounds were, I think, it could have been 2-2, depending on how you looked at it. You could have went 3-1 Plant in the first four.
Honestly,
you know what I mean?
I had 3-1 Plant. I had Benavidez in a hole. I'm like, man, Plant is looking
good. That's
what
I'm saying. And I talked to some. I had a 3-1 plan as well. I talked to some guys, man, that had a 2-2. You know what I'm saying? Talked about some guys had a 2-2. I didn't know where y'all landed. I had a 3-1 plan as well. And I'm like, but it's the same thing. Like we were saying, Benavidez didn't even really get in the fight yet. And so that's where he changed tack. Just like my dog, Brother Red, just said, was like, oh, okay, it's one of them. Yeah, ain't no problem. Yeah, yeah, ain't no problem. I came to boogie anyway. You know what I'm saying? I came to dance all night. So, hey, we can do what you want to do. You know what I'm saying? I thought we were going to tango. Now we're going to two-step. That's cool. You know what I'm saying? But Benavidez didn't have a contingency or somewhere else to go Plant didn't have anywhere else to go once Benavidez, you know, kind of started punishing him for the holding. And so he didn't have any other thing. And then just like our dog Doc just said, Benavidez started getting some of them boys off. You know what I'm saying? Like he started, and then once that power started really thudding and setting in, man, just like you said, the second half of that fight, man, those shots started taking a little toll, man, and he faded.
Well, yeah, and the bigger man was leaning on him. You know, it was an old school performance, if that makes sense. That was Benavidez pulled out.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily say it was a technical fight, but it was a boxing lover's fight. The casual fan may not have enjoyed that because like, most casual fans want to see Rock'em Sock'em Robots. They don't they don't necessarily like to see just what you said, Willie, a fighter have to change course in the middle of a fight, have to think out there while you in the water and while you swim and having to change that tack. So I enjoyed the fight.
Oh, yeah. No, just like you said, man, it's a sweet science. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a sweet science for a reason. It's not just going in there trading haymakers. You know what I'm saying? We can go down to the local, you know what I'm saying, to the local hole in the wall and do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get in that square circle, man. You got to be just as smart as you are ferocious.
Well, and the Benavidez, that was the thing that he really showed me is the boxing acumen. I didn't know that he necessarily had that. But he showed that, you know what? Because this was kind of like, you know what? I can win going away ugly. And I can do it. With no smudge on my name when I get done with it. Mm-hmm. No one's going to think less of me for doing what I have to do to take care of business. I can do that as well. And that's the thing with great fighters. Every fight is not necessarily going to be a spectacular knockout. But it's those workmanlike performances that, to me, that will set him up for later fights. Versus guys who maybe didn't have to go through things like that. Because those are the little things, as a champion, you have to check off. You know, I don't necessarily get impressed with guys who just always blow somebody out. I need to see you go through some things. I want to see you learn and see what you do the next fight after you've had to go through some things.
Exactly. Exactly right.
Okay.
Facts.
All right, now, fellas, what I'm going to do real quick, I'm going to hit stop real quick on our recording, so that way we can get up to our next segment. So I'm going to do that real quick, and then we're going to come right back on the flip side. We're going to start our next segment, and we're going to get into those three big fights that we talked about. The monster coming.
You know, people all the time, man, we talk about Money May. When Money May was 24-year-old in the heart of his prime, it was Roy Jones' boxing world. He was a part of Roy Jones' world, man. I'll tell you, man.
He didn't want that.
Yeah,
he didn't want that smoke.
Floyd is too small for Roy. I mean, Floyd is way.
No! Yeah, they couldn't afford. No, understand? Like, but Roy Jones was the man. Was the man in boxing, man. This side of Mike Tyson, Roy Jones was the man in boxing, man.
You could argue them 90s,
early 2000s, still a little bit, very early.
You could argue that Roy is the most talented boxer of all time. Just pure talent.
Oh, but. His speed and power, because his power went to heavyweight. It was John Ruiz, but we didn't say we want to. John Ruiz was a heavyweight champion. You know what I'm saying? And Roy Jones, who started at 150, went all the way up there.
Yeah, but John Ruiz, come on, man.
Like, don't do that.
You ain't fighting Mike. You ain't fight Evander. Lennox.
Don't do that.
You ain't fight Ray Mercer. You ain't fight Tommy Morrison. I mean, John Ruiz is like, that's low hanging fruit. He picked the weakest champion possible to fight.
I didn't see Roy looking up
Ibiuchi. I didn't see him looking up Ike Ibiuchi.
It sounds like Canelo to me, man. He found a weak target when he got a belt.
Yeah, Canelo does do that. And speaking of that, I think he's trying to cherry pick with the Charlos. You see where he called out, I guess it's little Charlo. I guess it was the little one.
Jermell.
Yeah. Yeah. He said he wanted to fight him in Mexico. But, you know, Canelo be picking and choosing. Canelo, call out Andre Ward, please.
Please. I don't think if this was 2 years ago, it might have been something. Drake, I don't know if Drake coming back, man. It's been, what, 3 years or even 4 years out now?
Yeah.
It has to be. I think it had to be Canelo because it's got to be the money. It's got to be a fight where the money is like where you can't turn it down. It's just too much money. And that's Canelo. Canelo is still the money fight.
Benavidez, Cinco de Mayo.
Ooh, Benavidez versus Canelo? You calling it?
Yes. Cinco de Mayo.
Hey, did you guys read the, did y'all read the report? And we are recording. I got that little snippet with Willie talking about Roy. That was beautiful. Now, that was beautiful. Now, did y'all read the report where Benavidez's father, he was like, you know what? Canelo's old work. We're past Canelo. We're not going to be waiting on Canelo. Did y'all read about that? Where Benavidez's dad was like, man, we ain't waiting on Canelo. Canelo's old. Canelo's living good. That's what his dad said. He living good. He playing golf. He's drinking beer on the golf course. He's not ready for my son. My son wants to fight the best. And right now, Canelo's not in the condition to be the best. He's enjoying life too much. What do y'all think about that?
I like it too, because for too long, man, the boxing let Canelo hold three divisions up. You know what I mean? Canelo slowed the progress of three, like guys he wouldn't fight, and then guys that didn't move up because those guys didn't move on. You know what I'm saying? Like little Charlo should have been out of 54 3 years ago.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Maybe. Facts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then big Charlo stayed in 160. You know what I'm saying? He stayed so long trying to get that, then he went to 160. I mean, so it's been ridiculous. But Canelo's already came out and said that he's not fighting any Mexican fighters. And man, I ain't gonna lie. I lost so much respect for Canelo.
What?
Man,
Canelo said he's not gonna fight no Mexican fighters. He said he's not gonna fight no Mexican fighters?
Yeah, bro, that's a real life quote. He said that he probably said when they were first bringing up David Benavidez to fight him, this part was what, 2 years ago, maybe three?
Yeah.
And Canelo had said he's not fighting any more Mexican, he's not fighting any Mexican fighters.
That is terrible. Canelo, that's terrible, Canelo.
For sure.
Hey man, when you got all the divisions held up hostage, then you can pretty and like you say, Willie Jack, everybody's staying stagnant.
Exactly, yeah.
Earl should have been gone from where he's at up to 154. Earl should have been gone. Earl should have been gone from the division 2 years ago.
Hey, Earl's got a ghost that is on his back. And, Docs, you know, he got a ghost on his ass. He got a ghost on his ass from out of Dallas.
Honestly, Earl
made me a fan of this dude, the rapper, because I hadn't really heard of the rapper until all this stuff went down. You know what I'm talking about, Docs. Mo 3, baby. Mo 3.
Earl better worry about
stop worrying about who his baby mama is getting piped down from.
Yeah.
And stay on the road, Earl. Stay on the road and quit trying to beat up cats that you know you can beat up. And then you get run off the road. And then you're putting hits out on niggas, okay? Earl got a whole lot to worry about. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
That's enough, Brother Red.
Whoa. You know what I'm talking about. Say his name, Mo 3. I'm going to say it, Mo 3.
Brother Red, you below the belt.
Now Willie Jack, you up there in Dallas, ain't you? What you know about Mo 3? What you know about Mo 3?
Earl's my fighter, Willie Jack. Earl's my guy.
Yeah, see, look, that's why we got to turn the corner on. Cause I like Earl as well. I've been to three or four Earl fights. Not
y'all
like
ducking
him,
the ghost. Y'all ducking the ghost.
I'm a bud guy, man.
What about you? Better be a Mo 3 guy, because the FBI is looking into Earl. Okay, there's
Brother
a general.
Red. What? Brother Red.
Yeah,
Brother
talk
Red.
About
Brother
it.
Red.
We're gonna talk
Brother
about
Red.
It.
Brother Red, get off my boy now.
It's enough. Docs, you know, because you got some info. Docs, why don't you share that info? Share that insider info that you know about what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, Docs. Go ahead and tell the people what you know.
Hey, matter of fact, that's probably probably a fight that we could probably circle back to when we get into the fights we'd like to see. You know
absolutely.
What I'm saying, Portia? So yeah, we'll probably get to really chop it up about that. That'd probably be one of them then.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, I'm gonna read off this list for y'all, gentlemen. This comes from BoxRec.com. I like BoxRec the most out of the boxing sites because they just give you information. You know, unbiased.
No, pretty solid.
Yeah, they don't
have like
no dogs
in the
fight.
Rankings, but the information is normally pretty solid though.
Now check out their pound for pound rankings. Now they have Canelo number one pound for pound, Bivol number two, which I don't know how that is. When Bivol whooped his ass
because he beat Canelo.
Well, they still got Canelo as number one pound for pound. They got Canelo, Bivol, Terrence Crawford, Monster Inoue, Gennady Golovkin, Shakur Stevenson.
That's the family you know about that list.
Exactly. Shakur Stevenson, Errol Spence, Stephen Fulton, Brandon Figueroa, and Tyson Fury. That's your top 10 pound for pound. Now, number 11, you got Liam Smith. Number 12, which I'm very shocked, even though I do love him, Regis Prograis. 13.
Wait a minute, man. We got Liam Smith and Regis Prograis, and we don't have listed undisputed Devin Haney. We don't have listed undisputed Small Charlo.
Check it
we
out.
Man, come on, man. Yeah,
check they got
always trash.
They got Juan Francisco Estrada at 13.
Who?
Juan Francisco Estrada, super flyweight.
He one of them bantamweights that beat up three times.
And he's 44-3. Then you got Oshie Foster, a super featherweight at 14. Tank Davis at 15. Then you got Kenshiro Terahaji at light flyweight at 16. Jermell Charlo at 17. Mauricio Lara, 18. Devin Haney, 19. And Kazutu Ioka at 20. Then they got Chocolatito. 19. Chocolatito is 21. Kambosos is 22. Nonito is 23. Ugas is 24. And they got Benavidez ranked 25 on their pound for pound.
So that's garbage.
That is, yeah, I have to say, BoxRec, I love the info, but that pound for pound list is some hot doo doo.
Yeah, they pound for pound list is always terrible.
Yeah, that's hot doo doo.
Who was their boxing analyst at BoxRec?
Don't even know if they have an analyst, man. I think they just crunch numbers. I think they just crunch numbers and they go, you know.
I
want to
know
like
how the numbers tell them. What numbers put together that list for them then? Because something's wrong with the algorithm, man. Something's going on.
Now, let's get into our first preview. Monster Inoue versus Stephen Fulton. Doc, you got the gas face on, so you kick it off. What's going to go down in this fight? We know it's been postponed because of a knee injury. Inoue suffered.
Your favorite fighter's going to get sleepy. Good night. Ooh. Burgers around his little head. As it has a cartoon with a little burger going around their head, that means you snoring sleepy. He's probably one of the best technical fighters I've ever seen.
As far as Inoue?
Yes, Brother Red's guy. Brother Red, that's Brother Red's guy.
Oh, no, we done talked about Inoue before, man. We done had it out about Inoue for sure.
That's Brother Red's guy. But sometimes, on certain days, that sun ain't gonna shine on you. And that day, he gonna give it his all. But, he ain't got it.
I'm not gonna lie, man. And this is what's so funny about this. When me and Brother Red was debating Monster Inoue, I don't know how long. It might have been a year ago.
Yeah.
This is the fight I called for.
Yes.
I told Brother Red this fight. I said, tell your boy Monster, you can't be a monster in a closet with fighting guys that's built like 6-year-old little girls, man. Gain 4 pounds. Go see Stephen Fulton. I called that out a year ago when we were talking about Monster Inoue. So I've been waiting on this for two, man.
One thing I want y'all to keep in mind. And I'm not hedging anything because I'm still rolling with the monster, and I respect Fulton. However, sometimes you have generational and special talents. I believe Monster Inoue is a Pacquiao-S type fighter. I don't believe that he's gonna have to rely on the cream and the clear either. I don't think he's gonna have to rely on Victor Conte or nobody else giving him no secret rub right, downs, yeah, none of that. It's natural.
He ain't got no Mexican steaks from Canelo. You know what I'm saying? He don't need none of that.
But if you look at his progression, this guy's already moved up like 3 weight classes. This is like his 4th weight class that he's going to move up. But it's been a natural progression as he's gotten older and naturally bigger. Now, having said all that, I do believe that Monster's power will carry up to 122 when he faces Fulton. And, I think Fulton has fought some good fighters. I don't know that he has had to go through the gauntlet of fighters that Monster Inoue has had to go through as far as just experience and then also quality of fighters. You got to remember, man, one thing about them PBC dudes, them cats have been exposed more times than not, because the ones who get anointed by Al Haymon typically get a lot of setup fights to look really good. And then when they got to face somebody of note, they don't always fare as well as what one would expect. So I'm just putting it out there. I don't know that Fulton, you know, a lot of them PBC fighters, man, a lot of them fights they fighting cats is kind of suspect. You know, and Al Haymon has been, you know, he does a good job of protecting his stable. And I will give him credit for that. He does a great job of making sure all his fighters of note maintain good winning records, if that makes sense.
No, I think I can agree with that as well. Like I said, now he'll feed you to the wolves if you're in house, because he says some of them boys the dispense, man, to teed them boys on up. You know what I mean? If you in house, man, you fresh meat. But yeah, outside of that, man, like yeah, he's probably the biggest impetus for this this Bud Spence fight we've talked about before, and I know we'll get into it later. But my take on the Fulton anyway, though, man, I'm pulling for Fulton in the matchup, honestly. But I don't know if he's going to just walk through anyway, like our dog Doc said, man. I don't know if he's going to put him to sleep. I do want to see if anyway's power carries up, and I do want to see if it carries up. But it's this matchup is making me think, because Fulton, or at least to me, he's a slick inside counter puncher. You know what I'm saying? Because but Philly guys are like that. I feel like they'll get in there and rumble. You know what I'm saying? Like yeah. So they'll stand. They'll put a foot in a tire, and we could just, you know what I'm saying, be slick and trade shots. So I like him. I like him there. But if he's, you know what this fight makes me think about, how Gennady Golovkin used to just kind of stalk, high guard stalk. He's got a solid power jab. Because anyway's got a real good power jab. I love his hook to the body, that liver shot. And so, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think his power is legit. I do think his power is legit. And I'll tell you the truth, man. Debating with Brother Red all that time ago really made me go back and look closer at anyway, because I just didn't respect the guy fighting at 112 pounds. You know what I'm saying? It was just hard for me to just give him too much credit.
I respect
all
fight. Anybody that steps in that ring.
112 pounds.
Anybody steps in that ring, I don't care what weight you are. When you step into a ring and it's just you and somebody else, and you can literally die up in that mug, I respect all fighters. I don't care if you're 50 pounds.
No, you're absolutely right. Let me rephrase that. It was hard for me to respect him as the pound for pound king.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
Number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just jumped him up the list in front of, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know that he would be said to have just jumped up the list. I'm looking at the rings, pound for pound rankings. They got Usyk at number one. He's been on their pound for pound rankings list for 251 weeks. Inoue is number two. He's been on the pound for pound list for 292 weeks. So he is not somebody that just, out of nowhere, he just came out of nowhere, he didn't earn it. He's been on the pound for pound list for 292 weeks. That's a lot of weeks. That's a lot of weeks.
This was the heart of the issue I had with. I'm not saying he shouldn't be ranked.
Yeah.
I definitely think he should be ranked, but I didn't like how high he was, because the most impressive fight was the Nonito Donaire fight, the first one, because then he washed him in the second one. But we got to remember, Nonito Donaire was 42 in that first one and gave Monster everything he wanted in that first one, Brother Red.
He did. Come you on, know what? And here's what I'm gonna say to that. You know what? When you have a veteran, he knows he's on his. Basically, this is my swan song. You also got to remember they were fighting for the Muhammad Ali Trophy. For it was a tournament, and so it was a tournament for that weight class. And with that, it was like similar to like the Super Six. But basically, yeah. On this tournament, you had every champion in that weight division that took part in the tournament. Okay, so ain't nobody ducking nobody. The best of the best fight in advance. So Nonito had to go work his way through the tournament to get to NUA. So it's not like Nonito was just straight garbage. And you're talking about a first ballot Boxing Hall of Famer. When Nonito Donaire retires, he is going into the Boxing Hall of Fame first ballot with nothing but flowers. Nonito.
If
NUA had a loss to Nonito, you know what? That's like somebody losing to Bernard Hopkins. What are you going to do? No, you going to hate on the motherfucker losing to Bernard?
But now check this out, though. It's a difference between losing to 44-year-old Bernard and 34-year-old Bernard. You
very
feel me? And so Bernard carried his pedigree. He carried his pedigree up to about 40. And then in his last, man, I hate how his last fight ended. He got knocked out the ring in his last fight. Now, the guy who, I'm trying to think who that was, man, and that sounds disrespectful. I ain't trying to disrespect the executioner now.
Kovalev carried Bernard because Kovalev could have took him out anytime he wanted to. And yeah. Kovalev, honestly, I will give Kovalev this a little respect because I was like, you know what? Kovalev is showing a lot of restraint. Anytime he wanted, he could have took Bernard out. And he went ahead and carried Bernard for 12 rounds, gave him like respect of a champion. I'm going to let you go ahead, survive these 12 rounds, take your ass whooping, but I'm not going to completely destroy you. You can get you another payday, you know. So I will give Kovalev that. And I understand what you're saying about 44 versus 34. But I also want y'all to put some respect on Nonito Donaire. Because Nonito Donaire ain't no punk.
He's a Hall of Famer for sure. No, he's definitely a Hall of Famer.
And Stephen Fulton has never fought anyone of Nonito Donaire's quality. Ever. He's never faced a Hall of Fame fighter. And he's never had a Hall of Fame fighter throw Hall of Fame the book in the kitchen sink at him. Never. And there's something to that. When you got to go face a dude that is like basically this dude is the man for this division, and I gotta conquer that. Fulton ain't never had to do that.
No, but that's fair. But that goes back to the point of Donito, 42-year-old Hall of Fame. Donito is still probably more so on par with a level under himself than at his best though, and that's what I'm saying. So the fact that fight was so competitive, with Donaire being so far past his prime, that worries me a little bit because anyway, in the heart of his prime. And then another thing as well that made me worry of just how high I can really put Monster on like that pound for pound list when we're talking that way is, just like you said, that in that Super Six style tournament they had down there, where Donito Donaire at 42 walked through everybody until he got to anyway, and then had an all-time, that was one of the fights of the decade.
Great fight. That was like the fight of the year. I believe that was the fight of the year that year they fought. I believe that got fight of the year. That was a hell of a fight.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Now, on the rematch, and this is what I say to that, on the rematch, what did we see? NUA learn.
He watched him. He watched. And I think, like you said, I think that was Donaire's last day in the sun. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean?
They last shot, dude. Anything can happen. It's like when you know I only got one left, I'm going out like a soldier.
Oh, that's a fact.
You know, I got one left.
Somebody getting hit with just one bullet.
Yeah, I don't care if you anywhere. I don't care if you Muhammad Ali. I got one left. I only got one of these left. I'm going all, and that's what anyway, he had to overcome that. Man, that's hard to fight a dude or somebody, you know, look, I got one left. You finna get everything I have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, Nito Donaire might not have had it tomorrow after that. Yeah, you getting
well,
everything.
He didn't have it tomorrow.
Ain't no tomorrow. I'm going full out.
Tomorrow came, what happened? That second fight, what happened? Tomorrow came real quick.
Like I said, man, it happens fast, man. All right, when you go over that, when you crest that hill, That next side of that hill is straight down, man. We seen him with Peyton Manning. We didn't see him across all sports.
Sugar Ray Leonard, you know. Sugar Ray thought he had something with Donnie Lalonde. He whooped Lalonde. He was like, oh, I'm back. And then he got wild. He soon learned, oh, Sugar, you should have stayed retired. When Hector Camacho knocked in, I love Hector. Hector is my favorite boxer of all time. But he's not a knockout dude. He's not a knockout dude.
Really?
He beat the brakes off of Ray. I love Hector.
No, he definitely
Hector Camacho is my favorite fighter of all time. To me, he's the fastest hands in boxing history, bar none, fade them all. Hector Camacho. I love Hector.
Now, hold on. Now, I'm going to think about it. I'm going to come back. I'm going to think about that
bar
a little bit.
Bar none, fade them all. Fastest hand in boxing, Hector Camacho. I'm saying,
Brother Red.
I'm putting some respect Brother on his name. Hector Camacho.
Brother Red. We ain't worrying about no Hector Camacho, Brother Red.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace to Hector. Now.
Yeah.
Now let's get on to our next one. Because I can see y'all done ganged up on me. It's 2-1. I'm calling Lomachenko, or I'm going to call Inoue, and I'm going to say that I'm going to go Inoue in a I think it's going to be a unanimous decision. I think this will be one of those fights he's going to have. I don't think he's going to just knock out Fulton. I don't think it's going to happen. But I can see Inoue putting Fulton down at least once, maybe twice, and he's gonna win a tight, unanimous decision.
Well, no, if Inoue wins, it's unanimous, and I think if I'm pulling for Fulton, but I think it is gonna be uphill because he's not the favorite.
And
he's not
in
the,
Japan.
You know what I mean?
And they are fighting
in Japan. I think if Fulton wins, it's a close decision, and I think if Inoue wins, it's probably like an 8-4. You know what I'm saying? I think Inoue would probably win more comfortably on the cards because I really think he's gonna be stalking. I think he's gonna stalk and he's gonna get him in a corner, and then that's why I'm worried about that liver shot coming in. Because the thing about Fulton is he's not scared of having his back against the ropes because he's ready to bang anyway. He's slick, he can move in small spaces, and he wants to get his off too. So he may even invite that, like, that's not gonna worry him. But the thing is, Monster holding dynamite in both gloves though, or especially in that left hand. He's got dynamite in that left one. So if he gets, you know what I'm saying, that's what worries me, is that Fulton may, like I said, man, bite off a little too much, man, trying to trade with him.
So,
but
Willie Jack, okay, you and Brother Red, I like that. I like that.
I done brought Willie over to my side. He's thinking about it, and now you're like, oh, Monster.
I just pulled the fight up. I didn't know he was fighting in Japan.
Yeah, they fighting in Japan.
That's where it was originally. I don't know where. Is the new date still in Japan? Because
yeah,
it was gonna be in Japan originally.
Yeah, they're fighting in Japan.
I don't know where the new venue.
July 25th
in Japan.
Yeah,
it's in Japan as well. Yeah, exactly. So.
It's gonna be hard to get on them cards
for Fulton, man.
So
it's gonna be hard. Like, he's had to be masterful to get a decision over there.
It's gonna be one of them. I'm looking at one of them exchanges. Somebody's gonna get caught.
Ooh.
And it's gonna be one they didn't see it coming.
I can see that.
Both of them
are very they're technicians.
Yeah, and they set you up and they set traps. They both set traps very well. Dodge, I can see that.
Thinking 3 steps ahead of each other. So one of them is gonna be thinking too far ahead. It's gonna be a subtle exchange, and it's gonna clip one of them, and it's gonna be a night.
Uh-oh.
That's why it's like it's gonna be a knockout because they fight the same. They're headhunters. They don't mind being the prey, but they also can flip that switch and hunt you at the same time you're preying them and catch you.
Right. I get what you're saying. I follow your train of thought where it's like that. It's like being a predator where there might be somebody else big game hunting, but you know what? I'll get your big ass too. You know, I know that you
Willie
out there.
Jack
I know that you. Yeah,
Willie
I know
Jack
what you're trying to do.
Willie Jack been saying some shit, and I done went and pulled the fight up. And I'm looking at both the fighters, and I'm like, ooh, the boogeyman do have some good body shots. Ooh, that
liver
shot.
Bro, that man,
anyway,
that little left hand, he put boys down.
Anyway,
he put this many guys down with that body shot.
Yes, dude.
This many or more than up top.
The monster.
That left body shot is real.
Yes,
so I'm
indeed.
Looking at it like, okay. Somebody's going to catch something in one of these rounds, and it's going to be the end of the fight.
If it's a stoppage, then I think that means Inoue won.
Yeah.
I don't know if Fulton could knock out Inoue. Now, here's the thing about Inoue as well, is that he's there to be hit now.
Yeah.
Boys put leather on him. Boys put leather on found him at 118, and so, and that's why I like what you said as well, because Fultz is slick enough. Now, he's going to get his out, you know what I'm saying? But see, the difference is, I don't know how much just pure put you down pop Fulton's got, but we know anyway, the right one catches him anyway, man, you can go, it could be good night.
And
so that's a,
Yeah, that's a travel. That travel's far. And altitude, that travel, that's going to weigh a lot too.
I think the more y'all talk about it, I think you guys are coming over to my side. Y'all are talking
y'all talking yourself out of it. I'm pulling for Stephen Fulton. I'm going to be objective, but it's an uphill fight for Stephen Fulton, man. I ain't going to lie. It's an uphill fight for Fulton. Because like I said, it's hard to – one thing about Anyway as well is kind of like Earl Spence, I don't know if I've ever seen anybody make – okay, I don't know if I've ever seen anybody put Anyway on the back foot, just like Earl. Sean Porter was probably the closest, you know what I'm saying, to just like, nah, you're not going to bully me, Earl.
Porter is hyper-athletic. Porter, you know, he's got that football mentality. You know, Porter –
I want to get the mud.
Yeah, he's all about the mud. Porter is like, you know what? He's not a dirty fighter, like purposely, but he's the dirtiest fighter in boxing, but it's not on purpose. It's just his style. You know what I mean?
That's his style. Hey, they said the same thing about Holyfield. And so, hey, y'all said old school box, man. That's old school for your ass, boy.
Big George had Mike Tyson's back when he bit Holyfield's ear. If you go back and watch the telecast that HBO did, Big George said, hey, man, if he called that shit. He was like, look, Evander's doing all kind of dirty shit to Mike. And when Mike bit his ear, George was like, hey, he had to do something. If you go back and watch
that fight, Big George
stuck up for Mike. It was like, hey, Evander's doing a headbutting, doing all kind of dirty shit to Mike. And Mike is looking at the ref like, look, y'all don't want me to be that dude like I was against Francois Botha when I locked his fucking arm and broke his fucking arm and then knocked him out. Y'all don't want me to do that. You don't want me to do him like Razor Ruddock when I punched that nigga for 12 rounds for talking shit after the first fight and gave him one of the worst beatdowns I've ever seen. That second fight against Razor Ruddock, Mike Tyson carried that nigga for 12 rounds so he could punish him.
The second fight was definitely more impressive. That first one though, the stoppage in that first one.
Yeah, that was suspect. That's why the second one was suspect.
I think it was a little quick. It was almost kind of like what people said about Bud and Porter. Like, I don't necessarily think it was like just a give me, but it might have been a hair early.
Now, guys, we got our second fight. I think that you guys have talked yourself over to my side.
Never.
I'm pulling for Fulton though. I want to see the tail of the tape when the height. I'm not sure how tall.
Something like that, about 5'5". I think they're first. I don't think that the height and stuff is too far off.
Fulton's not much taller. Maybe he's 5'7", but I'm curious to know, like, with those extra 2 inches, and then I don't know about the reach as well.
Anyway, is 5'5". And his reach is 68.1 inches.
Okay. What they got for Fulton?
So Fulton is 5'7", and his reach is shorter,
66.9. Ooh.
So the only thing Inouye doesn't have is the weight, but he sounds like he's a naturally bigger person.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So that means, you know what? That means that means that Inouye, as he gets older, probably can put on a little bit more weight. That makes him very scary.
Now I want to see how he carries his 122. Let me see how he looks at 122. Like you said, ten years
from now, he could pull a Pac-Man. 10 years from now, he might be 130, 135.
Think about this, Willie Jack.
You got Roberto Duran, who started out hands of stone lightweight. He moved all the way up to middleweight when he finished. Okay. So God, as you get older, you do get bigger.
No, no, but no, you know this better than me. Roberto Duran went through hell to make those weights, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Donaire is probably eating his ass off to try to maintain a healthy 122.
Yeah.
Roberto Duran, when
you eating and drinking good after every fight, you know, you're going to get big.
Run it what to do. Run it right back right now. You know what I'm saying? Because I know he's going to go out there and kick it. He getting hung over 2 months. Run it right back right now.
Well, you know, Duran, that happened to Duran twice because, you know, he wasn't right when he fought Tommy Hearns. He owed the IRS a shit ton of money.
Fight. That was an excellent fight. Don't take that from Tommy.
Duran was not right for that fight. Duran owed the IRS. Duran owed the IRS a shit ton of money. And that he had to take that fight to get the IRS off his back. Now, Tommy probably would have starched him the way he did, but that fight wasn't even competitive. And I'm sorry, Roberto Duran, you don't go 15 rounds with Marvin Hagler and give him all he wants and then get starched inside of 8 rounds with Tommy Hearns. Two different fighters. But like you said, when you partying, when you drinking, when you're not taking care of your finances, and when the FBI or the IRS says, sir, you owe us X millions of dollars and we're gonna lock you up, your ass will come get you from Panama unless you know you pay us off. Thus Tommy Hearns.
Hey, I like that fight
for
Hearns, man. Hearns needs that on his resume.
He beat the brakes off of Duran.
And this is the thing about Hearns. Hearns, to me, is the love of loser. I think Hearns just size, speed, power may have been the most talented, one of the most naturally gifted, talented fighters of all time. He was, what, 6'2"? He fought at 47. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And had power. He carried it. He went up to light heavy.
Light heavyweight champion. And, hey, remember Sugar Ray Leonard, 147. He knocked out Donnie Lalonde for the WBC light heavyweight title. So you got guys who started 47 all the way up to light heavyweight. So as guys get older, they naturally get bigger.
Yeah. Some of that also is going to be 47. A guy who fights at 47, like Errol Spence, walks around at 180. You know, and
dude,
I'm in doubt.
I've been telling you that, Joe. I mean, Earl
is huge. Yeah, so huge. Like guys like that. Because 47, like 47 is still a very fit 47 is a guy who walks around anywhere from, if he's a small 147, he may walk around 165.
160,
he's
yeah.
a guy like Earl, he's walking around about 180. You know what I'm saying? And
daily.
So these are already big dudes who cut just to get that. Now, Nonito, already a small dude.
Right.
Like, he's got to work to come up. That's what's different there. Like, I don't know. And also, you got to remember as well, because Donito, or not Donaire, damn, I keep saying Donaire. Anyway, Anyway's got to be, what, like 28 now or something?
29.
So he's already almost 30. When Leonard, Hearns, these guys, when they were at 47, they were 22, 23, 24, you know what I mean? And then kind of had to get up to middleweight because, what, Hearns and Hagler at middleweight was, Hearns was what, it was prime for Hearns for sure. He was, what, 27? You know what I'm saying? And he was already at 160 by 27. So, anyway, going to 22, he's already 29. I don't know how much more he's got to put on.
That is true. That is true. Facts. Now, guys.
Boogeyman. Monster.
Well, I'm going with the monster. So we got 2-1. But it's kind of, y'all don't sound real confident.
Yeah.
I'm real confident.
I'm not going to lie. Because, you know, Styles made fights and all that. And like I said, man, I think Fulton's not gonna run from the smoke. Like Fulton's gonna say like, nah, I'm here for everything. So I sit in the corner and trade and bang, but that's gonna be a bad idea. Cause he get one of them in the liver, boy.
Very bad idea. Very bad. I agree.
Yeah.
Very bad idea. That's gonna be a very bad. If he tries to trade with anyway, that would not be good for him.
Yeah.
Now we got
for sure.
Our next one, which to me, I think out of the three, this might be the most entertaining for just straight technical, like, is Devin Haney versus Vasyl Lomachenko. Like, this is a technician's dream right here. This is a technician's dream fight. I don't know that it would be as exciting as the other two, because like Doc, like you're saying, both Inoue and Fulton, they're chess masters, and somebody might get clipped, like you said. You might get clipped because you're trying to set something up And then some, while you trying to set it up, somebody might say, oh, there's a pocket. And boop. And it might just be a routine punch, like as you're going through your combos. But we've seen cats where it's like, it doesn't really even look like he's really putting a lot on that punch, but he catches somebody just right because it was there for the taking. It was like, oh, you messed up. I just did what came natural, and you just caught something you didn't even see coming. Now, when we got Haney versus Lomo, I could see this being one where the fans start booing by like round 4 or 5. Like, where's the action? Boo, boo. What do y'all think about that? What do y'all think about that?
You want to go, Dax, or you want me to go?
Go ahead.
Okay. So I think in this one, I can see, what like, I think this is definitely a fight that probably won't live up to the hype, as far as, because just like Brother Ray said, like, styles make fights. Neither of these guys are killers. You know what I mean? Neither one of them. And so if you're looking for that style of firework, if you're looking for the firework, you're probably gonna get in Tank and Garcia. You're not gonna get in that Haney Lomo fight. And I think it's gonna be, I expect it to be a lot of what we saw from the last two outings we've seen from Haney, were masterful shutouts of Kambosos. And I think he maintained like that same
style.
He
beat the brakes off of Kambosos.
Lomo's more adept to moving and staying with him. And he's also slick. He may be, especially probably 2-3 years ago, may have been the most technically proficient fighter in boxing. You know what I mean? He was on the accelerated track. He shouldn't have had a belt that he had. And for all those
he fought for a belt. His first professional fight, his first professional fight out the box, he fought Salido for a belt.
Yeah,
and lost.
Yeah.
Now, you know what Salido did? But see, Salido said, "Fuck it. You know what? You can have the fucking belt. I'm coming in. I ain't even trying to make weight." Salido made no attempts at making weight. Motherfucker came in about 15, 20 pounds over the fight weight limit, threw the belt in the trash, said, fuck that, I'm coming to whoop your ass. And he just roughed him up. He just gave him an old school ass whooping. He just roughed him up. Now, I tell you what, though, had Lomachenko, had this been the old school days of 15 rounds, he'd have caught him. It'd have been like Sugar Ray against Tommy. Salido was smart. He said, fuck it, I don't care. I'll take the fine. You can have a belt, but I'm taking this W.
No, and that's fair too. But like I said, I ain't gonna give no credit if it was 15. Because like I said, if Hearns and Leonard was 12, you know what I'm saying? Hearns whooped him.
Oh yeah, Hearns had Ray the first fight. And you know, getting back to that real quick. They robbed Tommy. He knocked Sugar Ray down twice in that fight. They robbed Tommy.
You're not gonna do my boy Sugar Ray like that.
Oh,
man.
There he goes.
We get a Sugar Ray as well. But the fight itself, like I said, I don't think there's gonna be a knockdown in this fight. So this is definitely gonna be a very technical fight, and it's gonna be Lomo moving and cutting off the ring and trying to bring the fight to Haney. But that's the thing. The thing about that is, when he gets there, he ain't really got no much power anyway. You know, neither of these guys. You know, and this is the thing about Haney. Haney's a guy who he's when he gets to 47, I think he's gonna get more power as he gains more weight. Cause I think he's hurting his own power staying at 35. Because he's a naturally bigger guy. But I think it's going to be one of those, man, where Haney's going to stay slick. He's going to stay outside. He's going to use his speed. He's got incredible reach on him. He's got a terrific jab. And so I think it's going to be Lomo cutting the ring, having flurries of when he does cut and slip one and gets two or three off, two, three, or even four off. But I think it's going to be kind of that kind of cat and mouse all night long. It's definitely going to cards. I'm going to pull for Haney in the fight. But I think it's one of those where Haney probably gets a close decision. It'd be a 7-5 decision. Haney gets a close decision, but the fans and the pundits probably feel that Lomo should have won because he was the one trying to bring the fight. You know what I mean? Like casual says that when he was bringing the fight. Well, man, I don't care if you walking me down to get hit.
Was it effective aggression? And that happens quite a bit where the judges, and that's where I get into it with a lot of folks because I'm like, yeah, you know, I saw the fight. Yeah, one guy appeared to be trying to bring the fight to the other guy, but it wasn't effective aggression. Every time he tried to get in there, he was getting two-pieced up. It's the same thing with Floyd versus Pacquiao. You know, Floyd set the tone that first round. When he jumped, because usually Floyd lulls you to sleep. He'll let you do whatever you're going to do the first couple rounds. He puts it in the computer, and then he walks you down. Well, that against Pacquiao, what did Floyd do? Floyd put it on right from round one. He let you know, two-piece, wop, wop. Yeah, you come up in here, you're going to catch this two-piece. And it set the tone. And I think I agree with you. I think that Haney's going to do something similar where he sets the tone early to where Lomachenko is almost like firepower. Like, if I go in here, I'm going to get nicked up. I'm going to have to be willing to get touched up to get this W. I don't know the Vasil. I think he may have a little bit of De La Hoya in him where he likes to be pretty. I don't know that he wants to get a cut. I don't know that he's willing to go be like a Chavez, go to death row to get the W. And it's not that Haney will take you to death row, but you're going to get nicked up. Oh, you're going to get some of this. You're going to get touched up. Will Lomachenko, is he willing to go there to get the W? I'm with you, Willie. I think it's going to be a split decision for Haney. A lot of people are going to be griping, but it's just like you said, effective aggressiveness. Is he effective with the aggressiveness? It's called ring generalmanship.
Split decision.
Ring generalmanship. And I'm going with Haney.
Split decision.
Split decision with Haney.
Split decision
with Haney.
Split decision.
What you got, Docs? What you got?
Haney's 5'8", Lomachenko's 5'7". Haney has a 71-inch reach. They're not showing what Lomachenko got. They just say a half.
Lomachenko reach probably about 68, like you said, for anyway. Probably about 68, if he's lucky. No. About 68. I wouldn't take a 70 at all.
No, I wouldn't take a 70.
Devin's gonna pretty much jab, jab, jab.
Exactly.
Every time, we ain't got to discuss this fight. We already know it ain't gonna be a split decision, though.
I think Lomachenko will get. How do I phrase this without upsetting people? I think he's got the right complexion for the right connection to get at least one of them judges. He gonna, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know how this. We all know how it goes. That's why I say split decision, even though, because we've seen that before. Look, Floyd beat the brakes off of Canelo, and it was a split decision.
Oh, yeah, that one was atrocious.
So we know in boxing, the politics of boxing as well. That's why I say split decision for Haney versus, you know what I mean?
Lomachenko is going to try to close the rounds out strong. That's going to be his big thing. He's going to try to close the round out.
He's going to pull Sugar Ray.
He's
going to try to pull Sugar Ray.
Close it strong.
So you think he's going to try to pull Sugar Ray, and then, you know, like Sugar Ray, you know, the last 30 seconds or so, you know, when you hear that ring, ding, 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 when you hear that 30-second bell, he's going to try to turn on the gas to steal rounds. Yeah. So you think Lomachenko's going to try to steal rounds?
Even though he's hitting gloves and forearms and shoulders to the judges, he's aggressive. So he might steal. Yeah, I hate to agree with you, Brother Red. Man.
I know my boxing, dog.
Yeah, I just said he might steal 3 or 4 rounds. Willie Jack. Yeah, I agree with Willie Jack. I'm not agreeing with you, Brother Red. I like you, Willie Jack. I
appreciate you,
bro. I am not agreeing with Brother Red at all. Never.
Well, I appreciate you for sure.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So,
I'm with you,
we all in consensus for the most part. We all got Haney, but I say split. You guys say unanimous. Okay, now.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to say split either, though. Like, it's going to be very tight for sure. And so, I'm not mad. I can see that. I can see it being, 115, 113 on two cards, and then 115, 13 the other way. Yeah. You know what I mean? On that last card.
He's going to have to assert his aggression 4, 5, 6 rounds to really just
I think if Haney establishes
that jab.
Control early, Lomachenko, it could be a really long night. You know, it could be.
Yeah.
You know, for him,
if
I was him, I would go back to what Floyd did to Pacquiao. I'm gonna start early on you, first round.
Yeah,
you gonna get, you know, Because Floyd rarely does that. You know, Floyd usually lets guys do whatever they're going to do the first couple rounds. He puts it in, like I said, in that computer bank. And then he's like, okay, now I'm going to break you down. Floyd, if you go back and look, he jumped on Pacquiao that first round. He let Pacquiao know, oh, you want something? You coming up in here? Or you going to get it? So, again, now, I was shocked that Pacquiao, because I thought Pacquiao might have the heart to go to death row. Pacquiao wasn't willing to go there. He wasn't willing to go there. And that's my thing. I don't know that Lomachenko, are you willing to get touched up? Are you willing, like I said, to get cut? Are you willing to take a little bit to get what you need to do to get off?
He did versus Pastrada. I watched that fight on ESPN. He got knocked down actually against Pastrada.
Yeah, he did get knocked down
against Pastrada. I seen him, but he knew Pastrada didn't have the strength to knock him out.
Exactly.
So
Haney's a little
he
different.
Wanted that smoke.
And he's not as polished as Haney. I do think that, you know, he's not a killer, but Haney's also very skilled, and he's a professional. If I can get you out, I will get you out.
Yeah.
I will
and
get you out.
And he got Floyd Senior to train him now. So that means he's taking this fight very personal now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one last thing I'll say about this one as well is that I definitely think that Haney, he should, and I think he needs to. Like, I think this fight could be I think Haney needs to put away four of those first six rounds. He's got to put those in the bank because Lomo's gonna pick it up late. That's what happened with Teofimo Lopez. The Lomo Lopez fight.
Yeah.
Teofimo came out there and seven rounds for sure.
Yes.
He might have won the first 7-6-1.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then Lomo really did. He takes his foot off the gas a little bit, and Lomo really got so much better the second half of that fight. And that's a fight, like Brother Red said, if that fight's 13 rounds instead of 12, I don't know if Teofimo even wins that fight.
I would say he's got to
come out there early and put some work in, because I think we've seen Lomo adjust and realize he needs to turn it up, because that Teofimo Lopez fight was a good example of that. Honestly, I don't want to get too off track, but going back to that Porter Spence fight, I thought that was a draw.
I'm not mad at that. If his glove doesn't touch the ground right there, that may be a draw.
You know what I mean? But we didn't. You know what I'm saying? His glove touched the ground, it counts. You know what I'm saying? He gets the extra point. And, you know, we know the history. But Adam, that's what I want to see. I would have liked to see that one back.
Okay, gentlemen. Now, for our third fight. And this is the money fight. Docs, you take it over. I want you to, because this is, I know Ryan Garcia is your favorite fighter in boxing right now. So, Docs, you take it.
Yeah. Ooh wee. Man, this fight. Hey, for anybody that knows me, I'll tell anybody's heart and wide. Tank should not have took this fight. I've been telling Brother Red this for years. I don't think Ryan Garcia deserved this fight at all. Zero. I don't care about the money. To me personally, I'm like Shakur Stevens. We should have had a super seven. With Devin Haney getting the first round bye, and then 2-7 got a fight.
Hey, now, Doc, talk about that tournament. Remember, we set up a tournament, and we were talking about that.
Yeah.
Talk about the tournament that we set up and how. Yeah, go in on that.
Me and Brother Red were trying to put the top fighters from 135, 130, 135, 140 together. Devin Haney's undisputed, so he gets the first round bye.
Okay.
Then the number two is who? Who's number two in that division?
Who do we say? Tank? Haney, Tank, Garcia, and there was
Isaac Cruz.
Yeah.
Who else?
And you would not. All those guys around that side. So you got to put Lomo in there as well.
Lomo was in there.
30 and 35. Haney, Lomo, Tank.
Yes.
Pitbull Cruz.
Yeah.
Shakur Stevenson.
And Garcia. And that was it. That was it. And Garcia. That was it.
That was it.
Oh, and Ryan Garcia. Okay. Yeah.
And Devin Haney gets the first round bye. He's undisputed. He gets the bye.
And then you got two through two, nine, three, eight. Yeah, yeah.
Isaac Cruz would have fought Ryan Garcia.
No, well, the seeding, if Devin Haney's number one, then I think Tank would probably be the second seed.
So he fights the number
Longmont
seven.
Would probably be the third seed.
Yeah.
And so then what? Shakur four?
Yeah.
So then Ryan Garcia five and Pitbull six?
Yeah.
Okay. But hold on. But in that type of seeding, it's like March Madness seeding. So the two would fight the six.
Yeah.
The three would fight the four.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I switched it up.
Yeah, he tried to switch it out.
I didn't want to see Tank fight Ryan.
Even in our tournament, Tank was fighting Ryan first.
He would have fought him first. Two, six.
But I just want to see Ryan fight. To me, Pitbull should be everybody's fight before you get a title fight. If you can beat Pitbull, you get a title shot.
Well, but see, that's the thing, too. Like, but I don't necessarily think he's at that point in his career. He's still a young fighter, and he's ascending. Like, that Tank loss did great
for him.
Exactly. That was the best thing that could have happened, realistically, like him losing that fight and then having the trajectory he's on now. So he's not necessarily like a gatekeeper now. Like, a guy like that's why I think Sean Porter retired. He was going to be the gatekeeper. He was just going to be the guy that gets teed up for the next guy. So they were going to tee him up against Jerron Ennis. He'd have been teed up against the Mexican boy from Dallas.
So now Keith Thurman is that dude.
You said what now?
So now Keith Thurman is that dude.
I would take him there.
I would say Keith Thurman to a small extent, Danny Garcia, because he's still fighting. Those guys in that weight division.
He already went to 54, though.
Oh, did he move
he
up?
Already went to 54.
Well, he's still a gatekeeper, though, because Danny Garcia ain't scaring nobody at 54. Danny Garcia ain't scaring
nobody. But Willie, I was looking at that because I just, man, that it just, and Brother Red keeps saying it's all about the Benjamins. It's all about
them. This is the money fight.
This is why, I get what you're saying as far as maybe Garcia not necessarily like earning the fight in the ring, but it makes the most sense in the world for Tank to take the fight.
Yeah, that's you know what I mean? Like, you're trying to stop Tank's payday.
The fight was a no-brainer for Tank now. You got to take that fight.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. You think if he was still under Floyd, he would have took this fight?
He did.
I don't know if Floyd would have let him fight him. And that's part of the reason why he had to get from under Floyd, because he felt like Floyd. If we look at the fights he's had under Floyd. What's up?
I want you to run back. What did you just say about what was Floyd going to do? Floyd wouldn't what?
I don't think Floyd would have let him take that fight.
Oh, and why is that?
Because Floyd is – Al Haymon came up under Floyd. So everything you said about Al Haymon protecting PBC, Floyd, who also came up under De La Hoya to a certain extent, you know what I'm saying? He was under Golden Boy for a while, so he could work his way up to get the shot with De La Hoya. And then we see how De La Hoya protects his guys as well. So I don't know if Floyd wanted that. Floyd is thinking business, and he's looking so far up the road. He would have stalled and dragged the Garcia fight out to have been him and Pacquiao. You know what I'm saying? Well, we saw the fight 5 years too late, but it still broke every single record in the book.
Yeah, maximum dollars. Maximum dollars.
Let's get them both together in their primes and have a have an explosive fight. He's like, nah, man, we can sit on that for 10 years.
Yeah,
man,
as long as people talking about it,
we could always sell tickets. So he just let it marinate. And we'd have kept seeing him fight guys like Ricardo Nunez and Yorkius Gamboa at 40 years old. You know, those are the fights he was having under Floyd. He leaves Floyd, and then he starts getting the ring I don't know exactly the time frame, but the Barrios fight, the Santa Cruz fight.
Barrios was a good fight. That was a good fight for him. That was a really good fight for him.
Exactly. He was with Floyd then.
Okay, see, I wasn't sure where that came in, because I know the knock against Tank for a lot of that time was, well, bro, you ain't fighting nobody.
Yeah,
and he had to fight to get those fights.
He had to press Floyd to say, hey, man, like, I need some comp.
The Abner fight that didn't happen is when he left Floyd.
And that was when Abner was hot. Okay, and that was when Abner had kind of reascended. Because, you know, Abner is like ran hot and cold. He was hot, and then he ran cold, but then he got hot again.
Who did he fight? Abner fought Leo Santa Cruz?
It was Santa Cruz, I believe. I think it was Santa Cruz. But he beat Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz once, and then Santa Cruz beat him, and then he came back. Abner Mares. Yeah. You're talking about Abner Mares, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he whooped Santa Cruz once. That's when he got hot. And then he lost, but then he came back. And you're right. Tank had to really press, like, man, like, I want to fight the best.
He wants to fight the guy.
Yeah.
And so he had to get away to do that. But here's the thing that I'll say about this. Here's the thing I'll say about this fight. Now, I'm definitely taking Tank to win, and I think it's going to be a – I think Tank's going to KO him.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be – oh, did we lose Ryan?
No, I'm back.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So – I think Tank's gonna win by KO, but I think it's gonna be late round KO. I'm thinking like 10th round. I think it's gonna be a KO in the 10th round. But here's the thing: because the Barrios fight, the Santa Cruz fight, the two most difficult fights for Tank, especially that Barrios fight before he clips him and almost decapitates him in the corner with that uppercut, bro.
Yeah.
That was nasty. Oh. Like I was watching that live with some homeboys, and I legit was like, hey, hold on, man. They got to get somebody over there.
Hey,
you know what I mean? Like, he gets somebody in the corner right now.
Doc,
so I think he's going to knock him in that same style. But Barrios gave Tank a lot of work in that fight.
Yes, he did.
I'm going to throw a name at you
from our hometown, street legend. You might have been around. I don't know if you're left, but I think you know him. Because, Willie, when you talked about that uppercut, I haven't seen an uppercut like that since I was at College Park and I witnessed a Mizzou football player get knocked the fuck out by Columbia Street legend, and we love him. His name is Jack Allen. You remember Jack?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this dude, yeah, we grew up with this little dude. He was like, Jack would probably be like a Earl Spence type, a little welterweight, little nigga. Hey,
okay.
But he could scrap. Hey, Jack could throw them things. He cool as hell.
Stayed knocking out.
Yes. Because back in the day, we would go to the mall. It was like, you go to the mall, Jack is knocking somebody out. Every Friday, behind the mall, somebody get knocked the fuck out. Jack Allen versus. It was like
easily.
Jack Allen versus the world. That little bit.
Easily.
But he was
funny.
Cool as fuck. He was a couple years older than us.
Downtown.
Yeah. Oh, downtown. Oh, yeah. He used to terrorize 9th Street.
Oh, man.
Dude, hey. He fought this football player. Dude, he fought this football player named Clayton Baker, which is like, this dude was supposed to be like the shit, Clayton Baker's toughest, baddest motherfucker, blah, blah, blah. Man, something went down, and there was a little spot called College Park where the college students, there's little apartments and duplex and shit. And so there's always parties out there. Great segue. Man, we went out there, we was kicking it. It's like fight. It was like Clayton Baker versus Jack Allen. I was like, oh, shit. Jack hit that nigga with a just like that Tank uppercut. He took the bumper off of a Ford Escort. He came, boom! And you know what? And Clayton's lucky he didn't get the full brunt. The bumper got the full brunt. If he had caught all of it, the nigga might not be alive. It was like Tank. It was just like that.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
Oh, dude. That was crazy. Oh. Shout out to Jack. Shout out to Jack Allen, baby. We love you.
That's crazy.
That's what I'm talking about.
Remember like that Barrios uppercut, that boy, it was nasty.
It was.
Oh, it was nasty
so
for
many
sure.
So many of them. So many guys we've seen get uppercut.
That one, and hey, no disrespect, Clayton. You know, you represent the Tigers, Boomer Sooner. You represented the Tigers. But on that night.
Hey, man, stop. Time out. You keep throwing them low blows in there, Brother Red. You keep throwing them low blows in there. I ain't going to let you keep throwing them Boomer Sooner low shots in there, man. I caught it. We not going to keep doing that, Brother Red. We not going there, sir.
We're not going to talk about 77 and nothing?
Because now, I'll take all of that. Because guess what? Change the subject real fast. 2024 SEC, Y'all go get
dog-walked. Oh, Willie, and we're going to have to get Chop in there. We have to have y'all come back on to talk about the Texas
OU moving you're to gonna the SEC. You're going to get like we're getting done. Y'all
who we got on Tank and Garcia? Because I think we all agree that Tank is going to win. Who do we got, like, when, and how many rounds is this shit going to last? I don't think he's going to no decision.
No, I got Tank by 10th round KO. I got Tank by 10th round KO.
I got Tank in seven. I got him Tank in seven.
Knockout. I don't care what round it is. It's going to be a knockout. Brutal knockout.
Yeah.
For Garcia. Sleepy.
No, I think Garcia's going to give him a fight. His size, his height, his length, his hand speed. He's going to give him a fight. And Tank has a little of that Floyd in him. Not stylistically, but he does kind of, he starts slow because he's kind of seeing what you got, what you bring in, and then he kind of just, that's what happened with Rowley, even in that Barrios fight, he said it, so, even in that, well, the Pitbull Cruz fight, he broke his hand, but I think Ryan comes out early and probably, I think, let's say the first seven rounds, it could be 4-3 Ryan, because Tank is still just kind of, you know what I'm saying, just kind of downloading the information, and then he's going to turn it on and put it on.
Yeah, Ryan's going to start out with that jab. He's going to throw that jab a whole lot on Tank.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and like I said, Tank's going to have to work through that height, work through that length, kind of get a feel for his speed, you know what I mean? And so I think early it's going to be more favorable for Garcia until Tank, like I said, man, says forget all this and it's time to go to sleep.
Well, see, I'm going to have to disagree with y'all. I think we all had the same outcome. I just think it's going to come earlier. I don't think Tank is doing all that. I think that it's personal, but not in the way that Garcia wants it to be. I think it's personal for Tank because I'm like, I really feel like Tank is like, you know what, Docs, into what you're saying, motherfucker, you a pretender. You a straight up pretender.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to let, like, I think Tank feels like, motherfucker, like, nah, dude, like, I ain't giving you shit. I'm jumping on your bitch ass from round one, and I'm going to do some Mike Tyson shit to you. You're going to be an example. I'm making an example out of you, Ryan Garcia. I think he wants to make an example out of Garcia because I don't think that he respects Garcia. At the end of the day, I really feel like he is like, you know what? You asked for this shit. I'm going to give you exactly what you want. That's what I feel like. I really feel like Tank just feels like, nah, dude. Docs, and that's what I do agree with you about Garcia. I really don't think Garcia, this is the money fight, but Garcia, you're a paper tiger. Like, I don't believe the smoke.
Yeah.
You're huffing. I don't believe nothing about you.
I would have agreed with you until he took this fight. You don't get the ring with Tank. You can't pretend to get in the ring with Tank. So him taking this fight makes me respect him that much more.
Respect,
you know what I mean?
But
so the fact that he took this fight, like, I got to put respect on
the name. All from the show me state, and you're going to have to show me, homie. And I think the Tank is just feeling like, you know what, like I've been like, and that's another thing. I think like Tank is just like offended. Like, dude, you're not at my level. You haven't put in the work. You haven't had to go through what I had to go through to get here. So how dare you come up in this motherfucker? I'm gonna give you exactly what you want. And so that's why I feel like Tank is personal like that for him. So, you know what? I don't think Garcia has been in the ring with anybody like Tank. He has never faced an athlete of Tank's caliber. He definitely has not faced anybody with the firepower that Tank possesses.
Or
the boxing IQ that Tank possesses. So when you combine those things.
All of that makes sense. But don't forget, styles make fights.
True.
We've seen tall, fast, lanky fighters. Those are the guys who've given Tank trouble. We've seen Barrios. We've seen Santa Cruz. Hell, we've seen Rowley for 8 rounds. We can say what we want to about Rowley. He's not a third of the boxer of Ryan Davis, and he was right in. He was on the scorecards. He was winning that fight until Tank waited for his moment and boom, put him down. And then Tank even said after the fight, like, man, I didn't know that was going to be the one to put him down. You know what I'm saying? It just don't like that. You know what I'm saying? He just let one go to get off the ropes, and that happened to be the shot to put him out, the one he didn't see. You know what I mean? But if Rowley stays on his feet all that fight, he's not a better fighter than Tank. I can't tell you he wouldn't have won on points. He was winning that fight. Boy, he got knocked down the 8th round. Oh, he was winning on points.
Yeah, he was winning on points. He was winning on points.
And
I think that Tank knows this. These are things that I think Tank understands. Like, you know what? I'm not doing all this. Basically, the Mayweather strategy of give this motherfucker 3 or 4 rounds and then turn up. Nah, motherfucker, I'm coming out round one. Let's get this shit on. Like, fuck, you know, that's another thing. I think some of that, you know, sometimes when you have a mentor that's like, you know, first of all, Tank, you're not Mayweather. You possess far more power. None of your fights should go to distance. If you're doing your job correctly as a champion and with your skill set, none of your fights should go to distance. Nigga, you're not Floyd Mayweather. So stop trying to fight like Floyd. Fight like yourself. Take care of business.
We got to be fair, man. You can't just go out there and put it on the man and he got a Deontay Wilder knock everybody out, man. That ain't fair.
Absolutely not. But yeah, what I'm saying is you need to it's called effective aggressiveness. And that's what I'm saying. I think the Tank understands. Like, look, man, no more of this bullshit. Let's get to it. You have the ability. Yeah, hey, you're capable.
I'll say right now.
All that Floyd, you know, let's wait 4 or 5 rounds and carry niggas and all that. No, Floyd, you did that because Floyd had to. Floyd had brittle hands. He only had but so many punches in them hands because he fucking breaks his hand every other fight. He has to take injections just to fight. Just to fight.
For sure.
You know.
But no, so. I don't think it's necessarily that he's looking at it as cerebral as Floyd was. I think that he's a guy that
slow motor.
Like, I'm not gonna lie.
You think he's got slow motor?
I just think he warms into the fight. Like Tyson came out in a full lather with a towel cut a hole in it, and you know what I'm saying? And I look, Tyson oh, came see, round a, one. Hey, Tyson looked hey, like that was, he was hey, in the now, six
old,
fight already.
Old Mike didn't come out with nothing.
I think he warms into the fight.
Old Mike didn't come out with nothing. That nigga was just dripping sweat. Come out with nothing.
Oh yeah, or that. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. Exactly, yeah. But I think Tank comes out. And I think Tank kind of warms into the fight, which is worrisome a little bit because I hate when I see Tank looking this way, talking in the corner, but he's got these saving graces. You know what I'm saying? But I want to see how more. I hope he's way more focused because he's definitely a better fighter. He's the more skilled fighter.
You're talking me down for my prediction. Now I'm gonna have to move it up to like. Now I'm gonna have to probably go with you and go to 10th round. Now you, because I still think Tank is gonna get him out.
Yeah, like Tank kind of falls. Tank kind of warms into the fight. That's why I think like I said, Ryan Garcia, he's going to have a little – because Ryan Garcia's going to be – he's going to have some hand speed. He's going to be flashy. You know what I'm saying? He's got a little pop to make Ryan respect – or to make Tank respect him as well.
Yeah.
He's got some pop now, so he can make Tank respect him. And so I think, you know, like I would say like the first 5 rounds, I would look for Ryan to probably be leading the fight at that point. But it's strictly because Tank is still just getting a feel for him. And then I think we see Tank start landing as we get 6, 7, 8. And then I think he puts him down in that 10th round.
Well, I think Tank's gonna come out. I think Tank's gonna come out more focused and determined this fight.
I hope so.
He know what's on the line this fight.
See, that's what I'm saying. I think he's gonna come out more aggressive from the jump, just because you know, it's like he knows his history. Like, dude, like you got to be self aware enough to know. Look, these are things that in other fights that haven't been this magnitude, just what you're saying about, I was behind on the scorecards. But the actuality of it is, you could have really, if you turned it on earlier, it could have been short work instead of extending into later into fights. So that's what I'm saying. I think that, being focused, also having a little bit of chip on the shoulder of like, dude, you're really not that dude. And really, people have catapulted you above me, because let's be real about this fight. Tank ain't the A-side. Ryan Garcia is the A-side.
No, Tank's definitely the A-side.
Well,
Tank's
not on the money. Not on the money. Not for the money.
It's 70-30 Tank. He's A-side.
I think Ryan Garcia is a top three star in boxing. I humbly disagree. They're giving 70-30 to Tank? Wow.
Yeah,
I'm surprised. Yeah, because Ryan Garcia is the internet sensation. He's the
but Ryan knows. You know, but Ryan knows
Ryan Garcia will move units the tank don't move because of the pop star. He's going to get the casual people that don't even really follow boxing, but they follow him. They're going to pay for that fight. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, and the good thing about that is Tank has that type of following as well.
But are they giving Tank 70 and Garcia 30? Are they doing that?
Yeah, no, that's the split.
Like, wow, that's okay. Split. You know what? I am pleasantly surprised. Because I really felt like it would be the other way because of the pop star.
You know,
because of the pop star.
Hey, knockout sell fights. Yeah. And everybody know Tank put boys to sleep. That sell, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, yeah.
That's good. I'm happy. I'm pleased for that. I didn't know that because I've really felt like the reason why, because Docs, at the end of the day, I do agree with you. I don't know that Garcia deserves Tank at this point in his career. You need to do a little bit more before you get a guy like Tank. So that's the reason why I felt like, okay, this is more of this dude is the money fight. This is the where the money in the division is. Let Tank get his payday by fighting this dude. But if Tank is the one driving the train, then you know what?
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to put my brakes on. And Docs, I can't believe it, but I'm gonna have to agree with you. I'm gonna have to say, you know what? I don't know that this fight should even happen because Garcia, quite frankly, Garcia, you ain't, if it's 70-30 Tank, that means you ain't shit. So go on. You need to earn your way. You need to earn it. You need, just like how Thurman them told Spence, oh, fight somebody and then come back. Same thing applies to Garcia. Go fight somebody of note.
No.
Then get back to me.
No. But see, Ryan Garcia is 140 pounder now. He's coming back down to 135, and there's a weight clause. Yeah, and there's a rehydration clause. Yeah. See, he outgrew 35. So if they don't make it now, they won't be able to do it. Because Tank can't go back to one. Tank tried 140, and he got that win against because that Barrios fight was 140. But he got lumped the hell up. And Barrios ain't hitting him with nothing that Ryan Garcia hit him with. He got his ass lumped up. And so he had come back. Tank went back down to 135. And then Garcia, he's like Haney. I think this is Haney's last 35 fight before he goes to 40.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? So like these, because Ryan Garcia is what, 23? So he's outgrown it. And so he's got to go back down. So the timing of it, they had to make the fight right now. Because like I said, because Floyd was trying to marinate that fight like him and Pacquiao, but it wasn't going to be possible. Because I think in 5 years, Garcia going to be at 47. Garcia and Haney both going to be at 47 in 5 years.
All of them going to be
there. Yeah, and Shakur will probably be at 40 because Shakur is the one that's probably a little naturally smaller.
Yeah.
But I think that the money's going to take him to 47 as well. But he'll be, Shakur will be Bud Crawford going from 40 to 47 versus Haney and Ryan Garcia being more full-fledged 47 pounders when the time comes.
Yeah, I gotta be honest, man. That 70-30 split is troubling for me just in the sense that, man, like, if it's 70-30, why is Garcia even like, you don't, like, you ain't really did enough, bro. Like, honestly,
Haney took 80-20 to fight Kambosos. The champion dictates the rules. If you want to fight the champion, you got to play the rules, because that's why Ryan Garcia had to acquiesce to the rehydration clause. Like, Tank's not going to let him rehydrate up to, like, 145. The catch weight's 46. The catch weight is 36, just 1 pound above the limit. And I think he can only rehydrate to, like, 38 or something like that. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty strict. And so he had to acquiesce all that just to even get the fight. And that's what happened when Mayweather fought De La Hoya. That was 80-20 De La Hoya.
Well, yeah, and but De La Hoya at the time, De La Hoya was still, like, De La Hoya was, like...
I mean, he was, you know, it was, you know what I mean?
Well, in the pay-per-view numbers, De La Hoya was still that dude, but then when Floyd beat him, Floyd was able to, the torch.
Yeah, that's what catapulted Floyd. Yeah, Floyd kind of took that torch. Yeah, they catapulted Floyd.
Yeah, I am surprised at that split, because, I just don't feel like, you know, if it's that type of split, that tells me, like, man, like, Garcia, you're really not deserving. When there's other fighters that are probably a little bit more deserving to fight Tank. But, like you said, it is a big money fight. This is the biggest money fight out there. This is the biggest money fight out there.
And that's the problem, yes.
big money fight. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but no, like I said, the split don't worry me. Like I think when you're an established champion, because that
well,
the
I'm
only
glad
guy
for it,
that can,
I'm glad the Tank is getting it. Yeah, I'm glad. I really thought it was gonna be like some 50-50 shit or 60-40 because Garcia and the pop star.
No. I would say Ryan Garcia did himself a disservice. Well, he had mental health or whatever he's going through, but he kind of took himself off that hot track he was on. He was on that De La Hoya fast track.
Yeah.
He, well, I ain't going to say
Canelo.
Fast.
He was like Canelo.
Well,
he was more like Canelo. He was
De La Hoya
Canelo.
Went out there and gave a lot of boys some work.
Well, you know, Canelo, but, they tried to push Canelo. You know, Floyd, I remember watching that fight in San Antonio down here when, you know, they tried to push Canelo on that fast track, and they're like, oh, he's going to be the one against Floyd. He's And Floyd's like, look, man, this is easy work. He told everybody before the fight, after the fight, he's like, I told y'all this was easy work. He said, I told y'all this
was
easy work.
Teaching film. Yeah. That fight is coaching film for sure. That
Canelo.
You
know what, though?
Canelo,
I think Canelo learned so much from that loss. You talk about a loss helping you.
Completely different fight.
Yeah, he learned. And he took a lot of Floyd, and he implemented a lot of what Floyd did to him. He implemented that into his arsenal.
His head movement improved.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of that pull and shoot. That pull and shoot that Floyd game all night. Now, here's two things. Here's another thing after that fight as well. Name a talented black fighter Canelo fought after Floyd.
Well,
I'll
tell you what. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought Canelo, when we talk about draws, I thought Austin No Doubt Trout may have actually even beat him.
No,
except in the knockdown, you know, I could say, okay, knockdown gave Canelo a draw, but I think No Doubt Trout whooped Canelo. I think Austin No Doubt Trout whooped him.
That's fair. No, that's fair. And then I think Laura.
Randy Laura flat out just whooped his ass. Straight up.
And
they robbed his
so,
Randy Laura.
No, like,
I think that was Canelo's first venture. Remember, he moved up. Laura was a little bit bigger. That was his first time getting a little bit heavier.
54.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah
54.
Yeah.
And Laura whooped his
Laura
ass.
And fought each other
well,
as well.
I had been calling for Mayweather-Laura because I was like, oh, Mayweather, you – fight Laura, nigga. You're 154 belt holder as well. Fight is Randy Laura Mayweather. Fight him instead of Berto. Fight Laura. You want to fight Berto?
I'm not gonna. I think at the time, Floyd's last fight against Berto, I didn't want to see that. I tell you who I wanted at the time. The name
Thurman.
I was pushing
I
at
wanted
that
to
time.
Fight Thurman. I want. That's when Thurman. I want him to fight Thurman because that's when Thurman was hot.
Thurman was hot.
You know what? One time is actually probably my favorite fighter of all these dudes, but he does have some chinks in his armor. He accepted little body shots.
I was a Thurman guy.
Oh,
with.
I loved one time.
I
loved
with.
One time.
That Thurman Porter fight was one of my. It's probably one of my favorite fights of all
well,
time.
Well, hey, Thurman
with.
And Garcia.
Thurman
Thurman,
fight
hey, you know what?
Tremendous.
I tell you what. Yeah. Thurman didn't duck nobody. He fought Garcia and Porter back to back.
He did.
Back to back.
And both of those were really good fights.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
the thing as well. Where after that Porter fight, because I was a Thurman guy back then as well. After that Porter fight, I thought that was going to be what pushed Thurman to another level. You know what I'm saying? Porter bring the dog out.
Yeah,
you
got to.
You know what I'm saying?
You gotta survive.
So
yeah. To be Porter, you gotta
catapult Thurman to that next level.
That's why I told you, Porter, he's not dirty, but he's the dirtiest fighter. Cause dude, you gotta bring the kitchen sink.
Yeah,
you gotta
like
bring
Porter,
every
man.
Thurman
I
Thurman.
Dirty. I can't
he's
do
not
like
he's
Porter.
Not dirty, it's
Porter's
just his
nice
style.
Guy.
It's just his style. You have to bring the kitchen sink when you fight Sean Thurman. Cause this is gonna be 12 rounds. That nigga's not coming off of no rounds. He's coming from round one to round 12. Unless you knock him out, I will give Sean Thurman that or Porter that. He's my favorite fighter in that sense of you know what you're getting with Porter. You know what you're going to get with Porter.
Entertaining fights for sure.
Oh,
I
love watching Porter. Porter,
Porter,
you know what
Porter,
you're
Porter got
get.
On my resume with that Adrian Broner fight. That's when Porter really kind of got on my resume.
But you know what, though?
Yeah,
Adrian Broner disappointed
Broner
me because Adrian Broner. And what'd he do? He damn near knocked the nigga out late in the fight when he was desperate. And, you know, I was like, nigga, if you had a came into shape, nigga, you probably could have knocked the nigga out. Because he put Porter down.
No, he did. Well, no, and talent was never a problem for AB, but like I said, it's everything else. And honestly, that's the thing,
talent,
too.
Yeah, he
didn't stay in shape.
And
like,
we talk about talent.
He didn't stay in shape.
Yeah, you talk about talent.
He should have never left 140.
Yeah, you talk about talent, man. AB, dude, he put, and it was easy the way he put him down. It wasn't like, no, he just, it was like.
No, it was a good shot. I mean, it was a good shot. He put one on the button. I mean, he just put one on the button and went down.
But Broner had given away so many rounds in that fight. He gave Porter so many rounds, you know.
Yeah, no, that was the fight that really kind of exposed AB's weakness. Like, if you smother and out activity him,
you can out hustle him.
Like, he doesn't know how to deal with that.
You can out hustle.
And then we saw Maidana with the same Maidana the same fight Porter and what's the other fight he had? But that's the book on him. He's not gonna let his hands go. If you crowd him and stay active, he can't let his hands go and trade.
You pressure him. You give him some pressure, and you out hustle him. You know, and one thing that, like, I tell you, a fighter who's pretty good at that, another gatekeeper is like Ghost Guerrero. You know, let me stay pressure and then try to get off first. I'm always getting off first. Yeah, I'm always gonna try to get off first. Let me all in every exchange. Let me try to get off first. You know, that type of pressure. But yeah, Broner, he doesn't take that well.
He can't deal with it. Yeah, he couldn't. He just couldn't work around. Couldn't deal with it. Yeah. But hey, man, I ain't gonna lie, but hey, man, it was a good time, man.
Yeah.
Hey, I like this, man. It was good. I don't get to talk boxing like this that much, man. Like I said, me and my dog, we just talk football, man. So yeah, if I get an excuse to talk to boxing, man, I love it.
For sure. Now, fellas, on our way out, Docs, you're up first because I know you got to hit it first. Let the people know who you are and give shout outs wherever you want to hit them up. Hit them up, Docs.
Hey, everybody, thank y'all for listening to the No Vultures podcast. Hey, Willie Jack, we got to do it again, boss. Nah,
for sure.
I had a good time, man. I had a good time. Brother Red, as always, my brother. Great time. To the audience, I'm no way, shape, form, or fashion would ever agree with Brother Red. So I just want y'all to, I just want y'all to know that. For the listening audience, never, ever would you hear DLX. I ain't going to say ever, but I
rarely.
Like the Sooners, y'all. Rarely, yes. So on that note, y'all, hey, we got more to come, y'all. We got more of these No Vulture podcasts, Brother Bill Speak. We got a lot more coming, y'all. So be tuned and stay locked in with us.
All right. Now, Willie Jack, give out your shout outs, man. Give your shout outs out.
Hey, man, one more time for Brother Red, man, and No Vulture the podcast, man. Holding us down, man. Invite me here, man. Like I said, definitely appreciate it. Had a good time, man, talking boxing with folks that know what they're talking about, man. So always appreciate that. Check me out, man. Check me and my dog Chop out, man, on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock on YouTube, man. Let the film speak. Oh, yeah. My fault, yeah. Wednesdays at 7 o'clock, man. Check me and my dog out, man. Let the film speak. Football talk, man. Make sure when you come through, man, holler at the three amigos, man. Holler at the three amigos, man. That's like that, share, subscribe, man. That's all we ask, man. So come in there, chop it up with your dogs, man. We get real busy in there, man. So NFL talk, we heavy in the draft right now. Wednesdays, one more time. Wednesdays at 7 o'clock on YouTube. Let the film speak. Let the film speak. That's on Instagram. That's on TikTok. That's on Facebook. We have a pretty active Facebook group page as well, and kind of open forum style, just football, just all ball talk, man. Wednesdays at 7, let the film speak. And shout out one more time to No Vulture Podcast, man. Y'all like, y'all share, and y'all subscribe, man. Come on.
Word up. All right, y'all. This is your man, Brother Red. We want to thank Willie Jack. Docs, you know what it is. You know what time it is. Boomer Sooner. Now,
see?
whenever you are, remember, do the knowledge. It's your man, Brother Red. No Vultures. Peep out. Let the film speak every Wednesday. YouTube and their Facebook page. Check out the Three Amigos. Like, share, subscribe. It's your man, Brother Red. Peace.